Gordon B., a 79-year-old professional violinist in Australia, had fractured his right eardrum as a child and subsequently had progressive hearing loss following mumps in adulthood. He wrote to me about his musical hallucinations. About 1980, I noticed the first signs of tinnitus, which manifested itself as a constant high note, an F natural. The tinnitus changed pitch several times during the next few years and became more disturbing. By this time, I was suffering quite a substantial hearing loss and distortion of sounds in my right ear. In November 2001, during a two-hour train trip, the sound of the diesel engine started up the most horrific grinding in my head, which lasted for some hours after I left the train. For the next few weeks, I heard constant grinding noises. The following day, he wrote, the grinding was replaced by the sound of music, which has since been with me 24 hours a day, rather like an endless CD. All other sounds, the grinding, the tinnitus, disappeared. For the most part, these hallucinations are musical wallpaper, meaningless musical phrases and patterns. But sometimes they are based on the music he is currently studying and creatively transformed from this. A Bach violin solo he is working on may turn into a hallucination played by a superb orchestra, and when this happens, it goes on to play variations on the themes. His musical hallucinations, he pointed out, cover the full gamut of moods and emotions. The rhythmic patterns depend on my state of mind at the time. If I'm relaxed, they are very gentle and discreet. During the day, the musical hallucinations can get loud and remorseless and very violent, often with timpani beating an insistent rhythm underneath. Other non-musical sounds may influence the musical hallucinations. Whenever I mow the lawns, for example, I get a motif starting up in my head, which I recognize as only ever happening when the mower is on. It's evident that the sound of the mower stimulated my brain to select precisely that composition. Sometimes reading the title of a song would cause him to hallucinate the song. In another letter, he said, my brain makes up patterns which go on incessantly for hours on end, even while I am playing the violin. This comment intrigued me, as it was a striking example of how two quite different processes, the conscious playing of music and a separate and autonomous musical hallucination, can proceed simultaneously. It was a triumph of will and concentration that Gordon could continue to play and even perform under these circumstances so effectively, he reported, that my cellist wife, for instance, wouldn't know I had any problems. Perhaps, he wrote, my concentration on what I'm currently playing mutes the musical hallucinations. But in a less active context, such as listening to a concert rather than performing, he has found that the music in my head just about equaled the sounds coming from the platform. This stopped me from attending any more concerts. Like several other hallucinators, he found that although he could not stop the musical hallucinations, he could often change them. I can change the music at will by simply thinking of the theme of another musical composition, whereupon, for a few moments, I will have several themes running in my head until the new one which I have selected takes over completely. These hallucinatory performances, he noted, are always perfect in terms of accuracy and tonal quality, and never suffer from any of the distortion which my ears are subject to. Gordon, trying to account for his hallucinations, wrote that before concerts he would find himself mentally rehearsing the passage he had just worked out to see if he could find better ways of fingering or bowing, and that imagining different ways of playing might cause the music to go round and round in his mind. He wondered whether this obsessive mental rehearsal predisposed him to hallucinations, but there were absolute differences, he felt, between his rehearsal imagery and the involuntary musical hallucinations. Gordon had consulted several neurologists. He had had MRI and CT scans of his brain and 24-hour EEG monitoring, all of which were normal. Hearing aids had not reduced his musical hallucinations, though they had greatly improved his hearing. nor had acupuncture or various drugs, including clonazepam, risperidone, and stelazine. His musical hallucinations were keeping him awake at night. "Did I have any other ideas?" he asked. I suggested that he speak to his physician about quetiapine, which had helped some patients, and he wrote back to me excitedly a few days later. "I wanted to let you know that on the fourth night after starting the medication, about 3 in the morning, I lay awake for 2 hours with no music in my head. It was incredible, the first break I have had in 4 years. Although the music returned the following day, it has been generally more subdued. It looks promising." A year later, Gordon wrote to say that he continued to take a small dose of quetiapine before bed, which damped down the musical hallucinations enough for him to sleep. He does not take quetiapine during the day, it makes him too drowsy, but he continues to practice the violin through his hallucinations. "You could say," he summarized, "I have learned to live with them by now, I suppose."